Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Now the point in what we are saying is this. Reading from verse 1 of chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews. Now the point of what we are saying is this. We have a high priest. One who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. A minister in the holy places. In the true tent or tabernacle that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, the tabernacle, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." All right, verse 6. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is, notice in particular, better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. Now let's stop for a moment here. Who can tell me what is the first covenant that he's making reference to? What's the first covenant that he's making reference to? Okay, dead silence. Nobody has a clue. 200 students and no one has a clue. Yes. Yes, absolutely. The Mosaic covenant. So the author of Hebrews is comparing and contrasting two covenants. And he's suggesting to you this morning that if the Mosaic covenant, now the Mosaic covenant is the covenant that God made with, Moses. Where did God make that covenant with Moses? Mount Sinai. And in what year? Aha, very good. 1446 BC on Mount Sinai with Moses. God enacted a covenant. What's it a covenant? A promise. What else is a covenant? I heard it. Say it louder. An agreement. A covenant is a promise and a covenant is agreement. And the parties in the covenant are God and Moses. And then by extension, all of the Israelites. Say it louder, please. All the Israelites. So now the author of Hebrews is saying that if the first covenant did what God wanted it to do, then there would have been no need for, finish it please, the second covenant. No need for the second covenant. If the Mosaic covenant would have accomplished all that God wanted accomplished, he would not have sent his son. He would not have enacted a second covenant. So now stop, and I want you to think right now, everyone thinking. What did the Mosaic covenant fail to do that God wanted done? What did it fail to create? What did it fail to accomplish? What did the Mosaic, you should be thinking right now. What did the Mosaic covenant fail to accomplish that God wanted accomplished? Now if you're struggling and thinking about this, think about what did God give Moses on Mount Sinai? What did God give Moses on Mount Sinai? The commandments. That's right. The purpose of the Ten Commandments was to create. Now you fill in the blank. Two words. Was to create. Fill in the blank. It created the law. It gave them the law. The purpose of bringing the law into someone's life was to create what kind of people? Let me do that way. What kind of people? Oh, I can't. Could somebody over here tell me, please? A crucified people? God was wanting to create a crucified people? Ah, I heard it. Angel, say it louder, please. A little bit louder, please. Righteous. A righteous people. A holy people. I'm going to give you these rules. Here they are. If you follow these rules, they will make you what? Righteous. So then what was the problem? He gave them a great set of rules. He handed them to them, said, you follow these and you will become a righteous people. What was the problem, Danny? What was the problem then? I can't hear you. Okay, but in relationship to the rules, what was the problem? Do we ever have that issue here? Give them a set of rules. What was the problem? Say it louder.
They can't keep them.
Yeah, they couldn't keep them. They struggled at keeping them. So since the first covenant did not accomplish what God wanted accomplished, he decided to do what, everyone? Create a... Say it louder, please. A second covenant. All right, let's go back to reading. Verse 8. For he finds fault with them when he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish, read it, please, a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers, not like that old covenant. On that day when I took them by the land to bring them where? You're looking at your Bible, aren't you? What does your Bible say? Bring them where? Out of Egypt. Out of Egypt. Okay, very good. For they did not continue in my covenant. What does that mean when the author says they did not continue in my covenant? What does that mean? Over this side. What does it mean when he says they did not continue in my covenant? What's that? What does it mean if they didn't continue it? All right, I've seen Coach McManus do this on numerous occasions, okay? All right, basketball players, raise your hands. Come on, ante up if you're on the team. Not this little hand, I want some real hands, all right? Very good. All right, time out, and he'll huddle everyone together, okay? And he tells you exactly what he wants you to do, verbatim. And then you go out there and do opposite of exactly what he wants you to do. I've seen it. I've seen him go, I don't know why I have this clipboard. I don't know why I write anything down. I don't know why I'm standing on the sideline. Because you didn't continue in what? In what he wanted. That's what the Lord's saying right here. Go back to reading, please. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. They shall not teach everyone his neighbor and each one his brother saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities. What's an iniquity? Back here in the middle school, what's iniquity? Sin. Very good. A sin. Okay, excellent. And I will remember their sins no more. And speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one what? Old, obsolete, gone. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Father, next few minutes that we spend time together as a student body, I pray, Lord, that you would give the students the mental ability to pay attention. I pray that you would give them the cognitive skills necessary to comprehend the truth in this passage. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody know where the clicker is? Was it up here? Are we all using it? Okay, very good. So what are, let's start right here. You give me one of the top covenants in the Bible. One of them. Just one, please. Abrahamic. All right, very good. Could I get another one on this side? The what?
Davidic.
All right, we got Abrahamic and the Davidic, and can you all give me the third, please? The Mosaic. Excellent. And now the fourth over here. Okay. Could you all help them out, please? The New Covenant. Very good. All right, now you all say it. One more time.
New
All right, very good. So yours was which one? Yours was which one?
Abrahamic.
And yours was? And yours was? And yours was? All right, we got it. Four covenants. Four covenants. Four covenants. You got it? Only one of them is made obsolete. Only one of them is made obsolete. Which one is that? The Mosaic. Very good. The Abrahamic covenant is still alive and well. Paul calls all of us in this room children of Abraham. We're adopted sons of Abraham. And the Davidic covenant is well and alive because who's the coming king that's going to sit on the eternal throne? Oh, I heard it. Jesus. So the Davidic is alive and well. So now let's focus on comparing and contrasting two covenants. In Jeremiah 31:32, the Bible says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." That's your covenant back over here, y'all. Y'all are the new covenant. Everyone nod your head if you know you're in the new covenant. All right, very good. "And not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on that day when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt." So in this Bible verse, the author Jeremiah, the prophet, is comparing and contrasting what two covenants? All right, I heard some mumbling. Could I get a decisive answer with somebody? The new and the Mosaic covenant. The covenant that God made with Moses and now the new covenant. Very good. So the leaders of the two covenants, Moses and Jesus. I don't know who said Abraham. We're not comparing and contrasting Moses to Abraham. We're comparing and contrasting the Mosaic covenant to which one, Jacob? To the new. And in the Mosaic, it's Moses, and in the new, it's Jesus. All right, y'all got it. In the Mosaic covenant, the priests were after the order of Aaron. They were Levites. Now, you tell me over here, since this is the smartest group, who is Christ now a priest after the order of? Very good. Melchizedek. And Melchizedek looks like that. It's a really cool name. Everyone look at it up there. Y'all bored back here? Look at it. Everyone look up. Look at it. Melchizedek. All right. Where's my future moms? Raise your hand if you're a future mom. Let's go. Get them up. If you're going to be a future mom, I want some hands up. All right. Ladies. That is an awesome name for a future son. Melchizedek. You could call him Mel for short. Okay. All right. Let's move on. In the Mosaic covenant, they were after the tribe of Levi. But wait a minute. Tell me, back here, tell me, what tribe is Jesus after? Because it's not Levi. Tell me, back here, which one? All right, I'm going to put you all on the spot. Do not say it here. Let's find out how well. What grade is this back here?
Seventh.
This is all seventh?
Eight.
Seventh and eighth. Oh, y'all are all mixed everywhere then. Okay, that's useless then. All right, this side right here. Who is Jesus the tribe of?
Judah.
Very good. Not a Levite. So if Jesus was on this earth, look at me, everyone. If Jesus was on this earth, or when Jesus was on this earth, he did not serve as a priest in the temple. You know why he didn't? Because he wasn't a Levite. Very good. The high priests were sinners, but tell me about this new priest. This new priest, say it, Angel. He's sinless. That's exactly right. He is without sin. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect was tempted like us." And then look at the last little phrase there. "Yet without sin." So in the old covenant, one of the problems with the Mosaic covenant was they were a bunch of sinners. And that doesn't work. Because how can they offer a sacrifice for the sins of others if they're a sinner themselves? Hebrews would want to say every time they offered a sacrifice, it was their own sins first. And then they could go on. All right, help me out with this one. What word should go right there? No, not tabernacle. What word should go right there? Say it louder, please.
Earthly.
The earthly. Now, this is kind of mind-boggling. This is kind of weird. This is really strange. The book of Hebrews says, and Exodus, that when God was telling Moses how to build the tabernacle on this earth, that he actually showed him a picture or a vision or an image of what it looked like in heaven. That in heaven there is a picture of this tabernacle. That first it was made by God in heaven. And then Moses was able to see that, so he had a visual understanding of what it was supposed to look like on the earth. What goes here? One. That's right. One. Tell me, please, why were there multiple sacrifices offered on a daily basis from Jerusalem, from Shiloh, from the tabernacle? Why were there multiple sacrifices? Yes, Stephen, why were there multiple sacrifices offered? What? Say it louder, please. Because the people kept sinning. Ah, that's partly correct, but not 100%. Why isn't it 100%? Because today, did we sin? Anybody here sin today? Yeah. All right. What'd you do? Confess it right now, live on the mic. All right. Okay. Demerits are coming. What'd you do?
I stole.
You stole. Wow. George stole. All right. What'd you steal?
I stole a sock.
A sock. My goodness. Well, make sure you give it back. All right. Okay. Good. That was good. All right. So I need to understand a little bit better why. Why? Somebody think. We're going to be theologians right now. Stephen gave us a partial answer, but it's not enough. Why are we at the point where we don't have to keep having sacrifices? Okay, but why does Christ's sacrifice cover all the sins? Because you got to say it really loud. Because he was sinless. That's right. Finally, someone who was sinless was sacrificed. And that changed the conditions. All right, this is very interesting. I don't know how well you know your Bible, Jordan, but when Moses would go up to meet with God, the glory of God was so sufficient, so amazing, so overwhelming, that it actually like spilled over onto Moses. So when he left the Mount Sinai and went back down to the people, they made him cover his face. He wore a veil over his face so that they didn't see the glory of God. When he would go back to meet with God to get information, he would take the veil off and see God face to face. Then he would go back down to see the people and he would cover the veil because the glory of God was so overwhelming that they didn't want to see that. The author Paul picks that up and says that, but when someone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. What does that mean? What is the author trying to communicate with that unique language right there? That in the old covenant, a veil covered Moses' head to keep the glory from seeing. Think for a minute with me now. Think. John 1. Think about what you know about John 1. Run through John 1 in your mind. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word. Run through that in your mind. Start working through that text. And Jesus was full of... Think about what that says. And come on, think. Work through the text. You know your Bible. You read your Bible. Full of glory. That's right. Jesus was the walking, talking God on the planet, and they were able to see the glory of the Lord through that. Think about what you know about later on. There's some guys that go up to the Mount of something. Let's see, the Mount of something. Come on, you know your Bibles. There's three of them, and they go up, and they go to where? And they see something. It's amazing. They want to stay up there. What are we talking about? The Mount of Transfiguration. Very good. And who are they going up there with? Who is it? Who? Peter, James, and John. And Jesus is there. And then who comes? Who comes? Moses? Right. And they see what? The glory of Christ. The veil has been removed. Oh, I bet you I didn't put the batteries in right. Hold on. They fell out when I found out that George stole. Threw me off. Yep. I wasn't expecting you to say that, George. Smoking or something else, but not stealing. Nope, still not working. Can you advance it, please? All right, very good. Think about this one now. There was a curtain. Oh, yeah, it's not working at all. Can't even do anything with it. Hold on. Try one more time. Yeah, that's what he stole. Jacob, go back there and get some new batteries and get this squirt away, please. Woo, that was awkward. Very good. Must be the clothes. All right, everyone, look at the screen. Look at the screen with me. Oh, you touch it and it just works. Wow, you got it, don't you? Ladies, he's got the touch, okay? All right. All right, what is this? All right, let me have your back, please. What is this? What is this a picture of? The temple, right. Temple, the temple. And in the temple, there was this giant what? Curtain. And the curtain did what? What did the curtain accomplish? It separated what from what? The holy from the holy of holies, right? And then Nathan, what happened when Christ was on that cross and he was crucified? It was torn from top to bottom, ripped in half. What is that symbolic of? How about over here? Can I get an eighth grader to tell me? Come on, put your theologian hat on. An eighth grader to tell me what that is symbolic of. Yeah. Yeah, you need to say it really loud like you're confident that you have the right answer. That's right. You can go directly to whom? To Christ, right. Absolutely. There may be somebody here that goes to a Catholic church. And the Catholic church teaches that you need to go to a priest in order to have your sins. Do you remember that? Nod your head if you have a little familiarity with what I'm talking about. Okay, very good. You don't have to do that. You can, in your private time, go directly to Christ and pray directly to him. You don't have to go through Mary. You don't have to go through a Roman Catholic priest. You don't have to go to a priest in Hindu. You don't have to go through a priest anywhere. You can have a personal relationship with Christ because the veil is torn in two. Now, in the Old Covenant, in the Mosaic Covenant, could they have that? No. They'd have to go through a priest. What should go here in this blank? What should go right here? Tell me, what should go there? The blood of Christ, right. The blood of Christ. The blood of goats and bulls was not sufficient. And then the author says, we're going to talk about better promises. Better promises. Not the promises of earthly prosperity, not the promise of earthly blessing, but the promises of the Comforter, the promise of forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternal life. There was not a single Jew in the Old Testament that could have the assurance and the confidence of eternal life the way we do today. Mr. Peek, if you're born again, if you are, if you're truly converted, if you are part of God's elect, you can have the absolute assurance that if you were to die today, that absent from the body is present with the Lord. You know why? Because you're in the new covenant, not the Mosaic covenant. If you were in the Mosaic covenant, Kyrie, you'd wonder, have I kept the law good enough? Have I obeyed sufficiently? The author goes on to talk about this crazy idea that in the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Law was written on stone tablets, but now the law of God is written where? In our hearts and in our minds. Who can tell me Mark 12? Who can tell me Mark 12? Why am I going to Mark 12? I don't want you to turn there. I want you to show that you know what's there. I don't want you to turn there. I don't want you to turn there. I want you to demonstrate you know what's there. Mark 12. They ask him a question about the law. They ask the scribes a question about the law. Does anybody have a clue? Even if you're too scared to answer it, could you slip your hand up that you have confidence that you know what the answer is? There's one. Is there anyone else that have a clue what's in Mark 12 and why we're going there? There's scribes and Pharisees, and they come to Jesus, and they ask him a question, and he gives them this amazing answer. There's two. There's three, four. All right, we're getting there. Is there anybody in the middle school that has any idea what I'm talking about? All right, well, then we need to go there. Take your Bibles and go to Mark 12. We need to find this text. Mark 12. We need to find it. Start looking at the verses in your Bible until you get a sense of what, if you think you know why I'm saying this verse and why we're going there. Because this is fundamental to our understanding. Just start looking at the top and start working your way through the passages until you think that you found the verses that I'm referring to. All right, I got a few hands up here. I'm looking in the middle schools. Is there anybody that's found the correct verse? Thank you. I got a willing. Anyone else? I got a few more. Keep looking. Keep looking. I want everyone to find the verses. Very good. Everyone, keep looking. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Keep working through the verses until you think you got it. Everyone, help your neighbor out. Help your neighbor out. This is absolutely essential that you learn this text. All right, Jacob, where should we be at? What verse? Where? 18? No, I wouldn't say we have to go back that far. Where would you go? 28. Put your eyes on verse 28 right now. That, not your neighbor, just 28. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, seeing that he'd answered them well. And he said, which commandment is the most important of all? I mean, we got all these commandments in the Mosaic Law. We got tons of commandments. They're everywhere. Could you, Rabbi Jesus, Teacher Jesus, Master Jesus, could you tell us in your educated opinion, which is the greatest of all the commandments? And how does he respond? You looking at the Bible? Are you looking? How does he respond? How does he respond, Nate? Mr. Peek, how does he respond? And next, and what's he follow up with that, looking at the next verse? All right, can I ask you right now, how many of you would say, by lifting your right hand and only your right hand, that God has given me a brain powerful enough to remember that verse? Okay, we're going to test in a few weeks, and we'll see. Mark 12. It's a real simple idea. It's not critical. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One. And then what? Finish it, Jordan. And then what? And then what? Can you remember that? Four things. What are the four things that he says, Kyrie, that you should love the Lord with? Four things. Your heart, your soul, your mind and your strength. Now, why is he using four words like that? Tell me, why is he using four words like that? Why is he using those four words? Why did he choose, Nathan, to use those four words? No idea. Not a clue. Excellent. Say it a little bit louder, Jack. I love it when someone is thinking. Say it a little bit louder. He said it covers everything. Heart, mind, soul, and what? Strength. And then what's the second commandment, Jordan? Don't look at it. What's the second? Yeah, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of God written on your heart, George. You say, well, how does that relate to the stealing that he did this morning? Right? Thank you for that great sermon illustration. All right. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you don't steal his socks. At a bare minimum, you don't steal one. If you only steal one, then what are you going to wear the other one with? Take them both, George. Okay. All right. In the Mosaic Covenant, when you're a boy at the age of 8 days old, remember this? 8 days old, what would happen? Physical circumcision. And in the Church of God today, we don't do physical circumcision. Instead, there's a spiritual circumcision that happens when God cuts your heart. Is that a physical heart that's being cut? Of course not. Of course not. What is that? It's figurative language, Miles, to describe it. Help me out. What should go right here? Tell me. What should go right there? What's the best words to go right there? Absolutely. Spiritual birth is necessary. In the Mosaic covenant, Hannah, you were born a Jew. It wasn't a choice. Mom was a Jew, dad was a Jew, you were born a Jew. Here's the bad news. You can go to church all the days of your life, Jeremiah. Your daddy can be a preacher. Your mama can be the best in the church. You can be the best Presbyterian, Baptist, or whatever you want and die and go to hell. You got to be what? No, you can't be sinless, Yoon. That's impossible. You're a sinner. So what do you have to be? Say it. I heard it. You got to be born again. Let's do another test. We did the Mark 12 test. Let's do one more. We got just a little bit more time. Let's see, by show of hands, if you're absolutely confident that you know the book and the chapter where we should go if we want to talk about being born again. This section right here. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're absolutely confident that you know the book and the chapter. I'm going to tell you right now, freshmen and sophomores in my class, I'm going to wear you out this week. Okay? Okay? Where are we going? Where are we going, Mr. Peak? Where are we going? Do you have any idea what book and what chapter we want to go to if we want to talk about being born again? All right, let's move back here and let's see if our middle school is any better educated than our high school. I hope it's not like this in math, Mr. Woosley. I hope it's not like this in math. Could you tell me, someone who hasn't answered, yes, young man, I think I know you. Could you give me an answer? No, not Matthew. All right, so eliminate that. Could we go over here? Could someone give me a book? Let's get a book over here. I haven't forgot about y'all over here, so don't start goofing off. You know what book? No, you don't. Don't even start. Are you willing to wager? Oh, I said wager on the live recording. We can edit that out, right? A Mountain Dew that you have the correct answer, Jimmy? Do you have any money at all? Oh, you can't wager then. Okay, all right, let's hear it. Let's hear it, Jimmy. No, it is absolutely not Romans 3. Romans 3 has no reference, okay? I'm looking forward to that Snickers, okay? Yes, Miss Willen. John what? John 3. Absolutely correct. John 3. Unbelievable. Now here's what's amazing. Stop. Look at me, please. Now, Kenny, are you not getting even an ounce of humor from this? Because I am doing my very best to provide the most entertaining chapel on the planet, and I've got nothing from you, not even a smile. This is discouraging. I will not pursue a life of a comedian. There's no doubt, all right? That will not work. That wasn't necessary. Okay. All right, let's see if you can redeem yourself, Jimmy. You want to do double or nothing? We're not talking about rock, paper, scissors, all right? Okay, right. Could you tell me what's going to go right there? Everyone's listening.
Shut up.
Oh, you can't say that, by the way. Okay, give him a demerit, please. All right, go ahead.
Hold on. What is it called? Hold on. I know.
Stop. You're done. Okay. All right, Mr. May knows everything. Tell us, Mr. May.
The Lord's Supper. Ah,
thank you. The Lord's Supper. Oh. All right, just a few more and we'll be dismissed. We're comparing and contrasting something. So I want you to tell me what is going there. Now, you're going to have to think on this one. The average guy in here is not going to be able to figure this out. The Jews would celebrate the Sabbath on the seventh day. What were they remembering when they celebrated the Sabbath? It is not the Passover. It is not. What were they remembering? You're going to have to think. I know I'm expecting you to think. This is hard stuff. Angel, tell me. No, they were not remembering the deliverance. That's the Passover. What are they remembering? Seriously, I'm going to take the mic off. I've got to hear this. This is going to be entertaining.
The covenant?
No, they're not remembering the covenant. Oh, my goodness. Miss Adams, who should I pick in this motley-looking crew back here? All right, all the way down to Miss Hamlet over here. You look hideous, by the way. I just want to let you know. Okay, go ahead.
The death angel.
No, they're not remembering the death angel. You guys are just way, way behind on here. All right, I know Mr. Webb. I know your dad. So let's see how this is going to work for you.
The day the Lord rested.
Yes, 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 yes. They're remembering the day the Lord rested. Very good. All right. All right, could I get your attention for just a moment? And let's move to this block right here, because we don't keep the Sabbath in this church in the same way. So first block is going to be what, Jacob? Sunday. And then let's see if someone can redeem themselves. What are we going to put in that block right there? What are we going to put in that block right there? Yes, ma'am. What's the answer? What? So you're saying we're going to put Sunday and then we're going to remember Saturday? Is that what you're saying? No, no. Okay. All right. Heather Wilson. Yes, yes. We're going to put the resurrection right there. The resurrection. Very good. All right. We're almost done. We're going to put a priest in here. We're going to establish the new covenant with the true Israel, which is going to have Jews and Gentiles. The old Mosaic covenant was temporary. The Holy Spirit would temporarily come upon individuals. Does anyone have a clue what we're going to put in here about the Holy Spirit? Say it, say it. He indwells us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Very quickly. Almost done. What are we going to put in these two blocks? In this block, it had a ministry of condemnation. In this block, what is it going to have? A ministry of anyone at all. I heard salvation. That's a great answer. Another answer is justification or righteousness. Now, what is going to be here in this block right here? Life. Very good. Let's go to this one. Spiritual warfare. Very good. And then we're going to compare and contrast that in the old covenant, all this food right here was off limits. Web-footed birds, rabbits, snares, rodents, no pork, no ham, no shellfish, no snake. But in the new covenant, you can eat it all as long as you do what? Say it louder, Jordan. You give thanks. Very good. And finally, in the old covenant, smoke was lifted up to the Lord. And in the new covenant, your prayers become that incense to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help these students to realize how important it is for them to know their Bibles and to learn their Bibles. I pray, Lord, that we've had fun, and at the same time, we've grown in a better understanding of the two covenants. In Jesus' name, amen.